Monica was and where and so on?
Well, first of all, I've been in the USA for 4 years now, a little over 4 years, and I knew nothing about the union. And let's see, got here on July 28th and went into the union hall in August 5th, got a dispatch to one of the works here in West Foods. It's the mushroom farm in Ventras. And that's how I heard the first thing about the union. And of course, didn't know anything about it. One didn't want to get involved into it either, because in Mexico, we don't get involved into these things at all.
Yes.
You hear about unions, but you just hear about them very far away. And you stay far away from them too. Mm. But then, let's see. I guess I got involved when our strike started, which was in November of 1981. And we just decided to fight the company for what it was doing. I got mad at them, of course, so did all the people. And I had the opportunity to get involved with it because some of the people couldn't, because they had children or other responsibilities. Of course, I didn't have none of them and decided to go on the boycott. Yes, I went on the boycott in January of 1982. Started working in LA. Received a lot of support from the people, a lot of it. Because the people in LA knows a lot about the boycott. Yes. They know the union. Churches know the union. But then, excuse me, worked there for about 3 weeks, and then I got sent to Chicago to a special study. We wanted to study how to do the boycott well enough to work in other cities and in other states. And so I was trained by, what's his name, Ortiz?
Frank Ortiz.
Frank Ortiz, to work in an area.
He was in LA then?
He was in LA, and he was the one who took us to Chicago. He took about four of us. Right. And then from there.
Who did the training?
Frank Ortiz did
Frank
the training.
Did it.
Yes.
Why didn't he do it in LA if he was there?
The reason was because he had other people working on the boycott in other states, and he wanted to get us all together.
I see.
And he had a store, or several stores, better said, several chains that he wanted to hit with the boycott. And those two stores were, one of the chains was in Chicago. So he wanted to work from there so that some people could stay there, and others were going to New York and, what was it, Michigan, North Carolina, Colorado, and New Orleans, Louisiana. So he thought that would be the best place to meet for all of us. And there were about 18 people in this study. And we were there for a week. It took us a week to learn what the boycott was about. And I loved it. I love what every single minute of it, to tell you the truth. Ortiz was great. He explained everything. He told us what to do. He said a bunch of lies to talk on the managers' stores. We were supposed to be students. We were supposed to be teachers. We were supposed to be a bunch of things that we could never be because we look like farm workers because we are farm workers. And he said, you go to the store. You ask who the produce manager is, and you say, I'm a student, I'm a teacher, or say whatever you want. You just say a lie. Don't say you're a farm worker because they're not going to help you. So we were there for a week in Chicago. Then I got assigned to go into the New Orleans area, which in New Orleans was a little tough because the people didn't know anything about the union there. The policemen, they heard the United Farm Workers and they got very mad. I mean, they thought that we were speaking about something really bad. And the people, you mentioned the farm workers and they didn't know what relation it had with the United Farm Workers Union. And they didn't know what the United Farm Workers was about or what it did.
don't think we ever had a boycott in New Orleans, did we? Before
I don't think so. Did we?
I don't remember.
1969, 1970.
Oh, really?
Bill Patterson ran it.
Ah. So it was just a short time.
What was
time.
That boycott? Great?
It's a great boycott.
Mm. Well, people didn't know anything about it. And I got... I was very lucky because I found people who helped from all over the place. And there was this religious sisters
mm-hmm.
in a house called Hope House. And they were Catholic sisters, and they helped a lot. They let us work there out of their offices. Mm-hmm. They gave us 2 offices to work and a bunch of telephones. They had a bunch of telephones. And they helped us with the work. They helped us with the contacts. They helped us with names and addresses. And out of there, we did a lot of... How would you say milagros?
Miracles.
Miracles, really. Because we went to the stores and we were supposed to be boycotting the Red Cross letters. Which I don't know why. I was supposed to be boycotting the Dole bananas and all of a sudden I jumped to Red Cross letters.
It's always
Frank
been
knows
that
how
way.
To wind up people and make them crazy, really. So anyway... We went to stores and we asked for the produce managers and we asked for the produce and we boycotted the produce. And of course, it was the Red Cross lettuce. And I was there for about, what was it, 2 months. And by the time I got done, everybody knew about the UFW. Everybody knew about the farm workers and what the boycott was all about. And we had supports from the sisters and we had supports from all kinds of convents, let's see, schools, mm-hmm. the schools help a lot, let me see, oh, and also the college,
mm-hmm.
they help a lot, because we make friends with different of the directors and mm-hmm. of programs and all these things, mm-hmm. we make very good friends with them. We liked them a lot that time. And they help us getting people together and have meetings with them and told them about the boycott.
Were these all Catholic institutions? Like,
no.
Was it a Catholic college?
No, it wasn't.
It was a state college?
It was a state college. It was the University of New Orleans, but I can't remember. It's La Foya? What is
Lafayette.
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 Lafayette College of mm-hmm. New Orleans. And this guy had nothing to do with religious because
mm-hmm.
he wasn't even Catholic. I never asked him what kind of religion he was.
Mm-hmm.
But he helped a lot with the people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we visit also organizations and just individuals' offices, like lawyers' offices or mm-hmm. doctors' offices. We went to everyone's house asking for help, and they gave mm-hmm. their help.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and they were very amazed because they couldn't believe that an illegal alien Mexican who couldn't speak well the English or understand it was doing the boycott in such a rare area, in somewhere where they didn't know much about the union.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that was the reason why they helped a lot. They knew I was
pulled on
in
their
the heartstrings. Really, it's true. Yes.
So then, from there, did you go to the Bay Area?
From there, we came back to LA
mm-hmm.
to do a little bit of boycott here again. It was a Red Coach, wasn't it, when I came back to L.A.? Yes, it was.
San Francisco, then.
From there we went, yes, I was in L.A. a week later, and then another week they assigned us again to the Bay Area. The whole Bay Area mm-hmm. was taken by 3 people. we worked.
There's some work.
Out of... our very good friend's office.
Mm-hmm. Fred.
Fred Eister, yes. And he helped us with the contacts also. We received help from a lot of churches. Mm-hmm. A lot of them help, especially one. Let me see if I can hear the name. Maybe he mentioned it to you. It wasn't a university. It was not Catholic. It was another religion. Mm-hmm. But he calls it by its name of the person who is in charge of the school.
Mm. Oh, was it a seminary?
Yes.
Pacific School of Religion? Or
it was PSR? South of Oakland.
South of Oakland. And it was a seminary.
Was it the black church you told me about?
No, it was a white and black school. Can't remember its name, mm-hmm. Sorry. But they helped. They put us up in the evenings, mm-hmm. Except for weekends, because on weekends they had retreats or mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't stay there on weekends. But there was another religious. It was a brother who helped us out and gave us hospitality. Mm-hmm. For the whole time we were there, a month mm-hmm. and a half, and they let us stay in one of their houses. They had another house on the side, mm-hmm. which they weren't using, and they let us use it for ourselves. Mm-hmm. They had everything you could need in there, even dishes. And I think you want names. Do we have their names?
You may have them in your notebooks.
I throw that out.
That's
you know
all right.
What? In the closet there is a box, square box, long, flat. I think I have names in there because I have papers from
maybe
the boy.
Maybe we can have them taken with
right.
Yeah. I don't think that's essential at all.
You sure?
No, yeah, I don't think so.
Okay, because... It was another
I'm interested in, you know, in your own experience and
okay.
the places you went and what it was like for you. And
okay, well, these guys helped us out with this house, as I said before, and they were very friendly. They gave us the hospitality. And we worked out of their house then because they had telephone and they let us use it. So we weren't in a rush to get into Fred's office in the mornings, and we loved that too. Then we worked. We had contacts in the San Jose. We had contacts in all the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
We took a day for each area because it was quite long.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. We liked it too, I guess. Those two guys that were working with me, they were great.
Mm-hmm.
The two of them didn't speak any English,
mm-hmm.
but somehow they managed to let the people know what they were doing also. We organized picket lines. We went and did the same thing we were doing in New Orleans also. Check out the produce managers in the stores.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know what we were doing and ask them how to sell the product again.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when they didn't cooperate, we would right away call some people over and make a picket line on their store.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't like that. But we loved it. Yeah. And the people did too. The people was very enthusiastic about it.
Yes. Yeah.
It's very surprising because when you don't know about the union, when you're just working there for yourself, you don't believe that people like to do picket lines or to...
It's astonishing, actually.
Really? When you see it, you kind of stay there opening your mouth.
Yeah.
Wide open. And you really don't believe it. Once you get the hang of it, then you don't know how to get out of it, either, because you loved it. Really. Fred Eister liked it. We used to organize little meetings in schools, churches.
Mm-hmm.
We asked for their donations. We asked for food because, I don't know if you know it, but the union doesn't pay. They gave us, I think it was $15 a week.
Mm-hmm.
For
it's gone up. Used to be only 10.
Well, we were lucky. Anyway. We asked for food when we had meetings, and the greatest way to ask for money was in our meetings, we said, thank you for the donations you're going to give us. Mm-hmm. Now, pass the hat around. And they gave us money. They gave us food. One time, we received a whole refrigerator hall full of cottage cheese. We didn't know what to do with it. We were very specific about letting them know we wanted rice and beans, tortillas maybe, but not cottage cheese. But they gave us a whole refrigerator full of it. One guy just said, oh, take what's in there, and it's all yours. We didn't know what it was, but when we opened the refrigerator, it was cottage cheese. He said, oh, we'll take a can. He said, no, take it all. It's all for you guys. So we took it and gave it to some other people that we knew around the area. And let's see. The people at the farm workers ministry in the office with Fred were very nice too. They let us use their offices and they let us use everything they had around for us. They were great. They also organized meetings for us. They round up some of the reverends of different churches. And we had much luck with it, I guess. Let me see, what else can I say?
Did you come to this country by yourself?
Yes. It was by myself the second time. When I was here 4 years ago, I had been here before. In 1977, I came here with a cousin. Mm-hmm. We also came illegal. Mm-hmm. Though we separated because she found a better job, I guess, and I did. And I was too scared to go out because of the border patrol. Mm-hmm. And I wanted just to be a living housekeeper. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was in. Carpinteria. Mm-hmm. And then I was there for a year, and then I left to Mexico, but I guess I like California too much that I had to come back.
How old were you when you first came?
I was 17 years old. Mm-hmm. And the second time I was 19 years. And I was very quiet. I don't know what happened to me.
You were waiting for your chance to show your stuff.
Yes. But I had to meet Carl. And of course, he changed the nice, cute little girl into a big monster. It's not
Oh, he's noting that down as the item that he needs to check with my editor on.
I have a list already written down.
Well, 19's very young. There's a lot of self-discovery yet to do. When you're 19, just what you can do and what you're going to be like.
It's true, except that I don't think I thought much about that. I just, I decided to come to work and went straight to work. Mm-hmm. Didn't do any going out or anything until when I met Carl, he took me to meetings. Because, if you like to have fun, you know, you should meet one of the union persons. You know, they take you to all kinds of meetings. Non-dancing, non-movies. Meetings a lot. It's great. And really, you did, didn't you? You took me to a lot of meetings. That's how I got to know
the... Never took you anywhere you didn't want to go.
I had to say yes. It was a star, you know. Yes, and then, let's see. By the time I got involved with the union, I was 21. Mm-hmm. So I guess I liked it a lot. I was old enough to know what I was doing and what it was about. To understand it.
So had you worked at West Foods for like a year and a half or so before you really got involved with the union?
Let's see, it started in August. Yeah, I worked a year, full year.
Exactly. And at that time, what was the status right then? Did the union have a contract, or were they working on a contract?
We had a pretty good contract. Mm-hmm. We had a store, in because we had we have the union, but in the farm, we don't negotiate with the union whatever problem we have. We have a committee which works really great, and we have stores in every single department. Mm-hmm. And we had a very good store then, and she got us involved into all kinds of things, and we fight a lot with the supervisors, because even if you have a good contract, the supervisors don't want to go with it. Mm-hmm. And we had a very good supervisor, very straight, very naggy with the people. He didn't like the union, and he was always making fun of it. We had to fight him a lot, because every time we had a problem, we went to him, he would say, there's no way. And once he said, there is no way, there really was no way until we prove it. We won it all the time. But then with the strike, before the strike, he was being a little nasty, because he brought us, he made a meeting one time, and this is when we all started getting mad at the company, because he said that we didn't have a contract anymore. And
oh, it had expired?
It had expired. And he said, you guys don't have any contract. You're working for Castle and Cook West Foods now. He says, now you're going to do whatever I tell you to do. He says, and you're going to pay whatever I want you to. I want to pay you. And if I call you to work 5 minutes, that's all I'm going to pay you no more. Because under the contract, we have a 4-hour security. And then he said, if I call you, on those days they were calling us for half an hour to work. Sometimes it was an hour, 2 hours. But we were never too sure how many hours or how many minutes we were going to work. So he made a meeting, and he said very specific that if we work half an hour, that was all he was going to pay. Which, of course, we couldn't afford, because the ones who don't have a car and ride with somebody else pay $2 a day to get to work, and you work half an hour, so you don't even work what you're paying to the other person to take you to work. It was getting kind of bad in there. So we strike, and we weren't sorry, I guess. We had a very good picket lines outdoors. We had all the people working 24 hours a day in there. Some people had the day shift and another the evening. We had a guy.
You actually had around the clock picket lines?
Yes, we did.
Is that because they operate around the clock?
No, we did it because we wanted to let them know that we were ready for anything. They had scabs, and we wanted to be there every time they went out of work and every time they went in. We wanted to let them know we were there. And we weren't tired, and we weren't giving up. And we just wanted them to see us all the time, and they did. They got tired of us. Because they, well, it wasn't their fault, but if the strike hadn't been a strike, we hadn't had a guy killed there. His name was Juan Quintanilla. Juan Quintanilla. And this happened in the evening shift.
How do you spell his last name?
Quintanilla,
Q-U-I-L-L-A. No,
Q-U-I-N-T-I-N. Thank you.
Okay, got it.
So, some people and it's pretty dangerous, because it's a high-speed street. And then car had called the light company a few days before so that we could have some light there, because we were picketing in the evening and during the day. And we needed it. The company said they were going to get there, but they never did. And Juan Quintanilla was the one of the nights. It was his turn to be in the evening. Mm-hmm. And when he was ready to leave to his car just to rest, because they took little breaks, mm-hmm. One car was coming pretty high speed, I guess, and he just drove and he flew on the air. And 72 years old he was, mm-hmm. Yes. He died fast. Our contract is dedicated to his memory.
Oh.
Yes. At the time, when was it when he died, Carl? When was this?
Second day of the strike, second day.
Yes, well, very soon.
Mm-hmm. This is 1980, did you say? 81.
Yes. November.
November.
At this time, I wasn't working on the strike very much because of I had a pretty bad pregnancy at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I was pregnant and not having very much luck with it. I lost the baby on the end of December. And I guess because I couldn't have been very much involved in it the days when it started. And with all these things happening, it just blew my head up and decided to go all the way to the boycott.
Mm-hmm.
There were two women working on it. The other one is Marta de la Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
And we had at the beginning about 15 guys working with us,
mm-hmm.
all farm workers in the company, and most of them didn't speak English, just Spanish. But people were so good in LA that they understood every single word they said. They had meetings to us, we did, and they had, we had a round-the-clock schedule too, and we have meetings in the evenings and in the day with companies, corporations, churches. See, what else would you?
Had you come from a city, or were you brought up in a village, or what?
I was brought up in a city,
mm-hmm.
of Durango. It's the state of Durango.
Mm-hmm.
Durango,
so
Durango,
city life was not a. Was not one of the adjustments you had to make?
I don't think so. I had to make several adjustments, but not city life. Because
mm-hmm.
even if you live in a city in Mexico, it's like you come to California and the city of Mexico is like a little town.
Mm-hmm.
I come from a very poor family.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the opportunity to have good schools. We missed a lot of that. See, the education is poor. We had pretty good examples from my mother, that's all I can say. She
mm-hmm.
was great raising us up. But that's all we got, examples, not education.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. You don't get much involved out there, of course. You don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
But this, I went only to sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I jumped to let's see, let's go. Nurse's aide.
Mm-hmm.
And I graduated as a nurse's aide. Got my diploma, but didn't like the job
mm-hmm.
down there. So I decided to come out here
mm-hmm.
and work as a farm worker. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But for the first time you came, you were working as a live-in maid.
As a live-in maid,
yeah.
Yes. Taking care of two little children.
Mm-hmm.
Very little. They were great.
Mm-hmm.
Very great. They had, this couple had a small ranch
mm-hmm.
in Carpinteria in Cravens Lane.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that.
And so they were wonderful. They
mm-hmm.
treated me like their own daughter because they had no daughters and they wanted a daughter so bad. They
mm-hmm.
still do. I think they keep trying and trying and trying. Nothing happens. When I got there, she was pregnant of the second child and he was a boy, so they really did see me as their daughter.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they wanted. It. But the little other kid almost killed me for that. He didn't like that.
Yeah, a little more attention than
oh,
he appreciated.
Yeah. Well, you know, being on his own for 7 years,
yes.
and then all of a sudden came some Mexican woman who doesn't know any English, So they had to give her a lot of attention in order to understand or do anything. And, you know, he came into a very second place. And he also, I needed his help, and he had to give it whether he wanted or not. Because sometimes he wanted things and I just wouldn't understand what he wanted. Mm-hmm. So he had to help teaching the English. Mm-hmm. And he did a great job. He was a good teacher, hated it, but he had to do it. Otherwise, he wouldn't get his breakfast. I wouldn't understand what he wanted. Yeah.
That's an interesting way to learn a language. Maybe that's what I need.
It's great, you know, because you don't understand a single word, and you hear people talking, and you don't know what they're saying. I got there, and this lady, she's wonderful. She's got a wonderful sense of humor, and she says, let's feed the horses. And, of course, I said, what is this lady saying? So she goes, she makes all these, and then she goes, let's feed the rabbit. And then she makes all these little jumps like a rabbit, you know. And so I said, this lady's crazy. So let's see what she wants anyway. So I followed her, and she wanted to feed the animals. Mm-hmm. And so I learned the word, what is that? Those words were the very first words, because she taught me how to say that. And so I heard a lot of TV in English. I heard a lot of English radio. And all they spoke there was English. And so every time I heard a word that I liked, I always said, what is that? Mm-hmm. And so they told me what that was. And then I touched a table and I said, what is that? So they taught me that, what is this is the word, not what is that? Mm-hmm. So that was the second thing I learned. And pretty soon, I think it was 3 months later when I was understanding their conversation, and her parents came to visit one day. It was 3 months later, and they were speaking about me at first, and he said something about, how is this girl doing now in the job? Is she doing better and all this? And I said, I think so. And they were very surprised because they couldn't believe it. And then she goes, you understand the English now? No, I understood half and half, but yeah. I could tell what they
pick
were trying
up some
to
of it.
Say, yes. And so they sent me to school for about 3 months also to learn it better. And kind of like it and not like it, because they were better teachers than the teacher itself. Because they gave me all their attention, and the teacher had to provide the attention to all the students. Mm-hmm. And I liked it, but sometimes I wouldn't understand something and she had not time to explain, or she had it but later on, or the other students would get a little mad at me. And sometimes I would know some things that they didn't know, and they were behind because the other teachers I had were pretty much fast. So I dropped out of school, and they started showing me books and showing me how to read or write. And it was pretty slow as on the reading and writing. It's a little difficult to me. Because in Mexico, the word you hear, the sound you hear is the one you put down on the paper. And in here, the sound you hear is such a different than the one
so
you're reading.
Different. Yeah,
really.
So different.
I'm going to go pick them up.
Thank you. So, I can read it very well. I can read the whole thing. But when it comes to writing it, I have to think about 10 times before I put the word down.
Yes.
And then ask for a second opinion. Yeah. But
I'd like to know what some of your perceptions are about the role of religion in this union and with the individual members. Because I think that the Farm Workers Union has been very unusual in the amount of religious observance that's been part of it. And I don't know how much that's been true in the years you've been a member, because I was closer to it during the 60s and 70s. But I'd be interested in your observations about that.
Let me see. You have to repeat
okay.
that with a little...
I'd be interested to know your experience and your observation about religious experience in the union. Do they does in your experience, does the union still do some things with having kind of religious observances that are part of, like, of a strike or of, you know, things that are going on? I don't know if that's still happening or not. That had been true in the 60s and 70s.
It is. It's mm-hmm. still happening. Because, well, on most of the strikes or anything, you know, we have praising masses.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's not only Catholic, because mm-hmm. we, even in the union itself, has several reverends which belong to I don't know what religion, because I really don't stop to think about it,
mm-hmm.
Who they're always traveling around and also with the union, working with the union, mm-hmm. Doing all kinds of things like the medical plan,
mm-hmm.
And other small things like that. They go around telling the people about the union and the medical plan, and they explain what they are.
Mm-hmm.
We have...
Who are some of those people?
We have Reverend... I just saw him this weekend.
They come from La Paz?
Yes. There are, two of them are working in La Paz that I know personally. Uh-huh. Chris Hartmeyer
yeah, mm-hmm.
is one of them. Let's see, the other one is, what's his name? He was working in La Paz when I saw him last time.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see if I can remember his name. If not, Carl Picudale.
Okay.
He's great with names and dates and everything. Let's see. When we did the boycott in New Orleans, we had a lot of involvement with churches because
mm-hmm.
We needed their help.
Mm-hmm.
And they were great. The Catholic nuns, they gave us their communion, Holy Communion, every day.
Mm-hmm.
They were great helping us because they believe in helping everyone.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to turn me into a nun. Since I had them waiting for me. We had, let's see, we went into three convents in that period of time, 2 months. And they all liked us.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, Sister Louise was her name. She was from the convent of San Jose,
mm-hmm.
Catholic. And she was so much involved that in her wall, she had all kinds of lists of things that she had to boycott. And not only from the farm workers, from the United Farm Workers, mm-hmm. but she had, like, there is this boycott going on from Nestle,
mm-hmm.
which is not from our union, but she's boycotting it because she says she believes in the boycott.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got this whole list of about 20-something things that she's got to boycott. And she's got the other list from the United Farm Workers,
mm-hmm.
and she's got this other list from another union in Ohio.
Plus,
she had her wall full of leaflets and lists of mm-hmm. things she had to boycott and news bulletins and all kinds of things. She was great. She was just great. She was about probably 70 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me whenever I stayed there for 3 days, and she said, "You're leaving now, but don't leave forever. Come back and let me know what's going on," she said. "Or send me a list of things that I'm supposed to boycott, because I don't want to buy anything that I'm not supposed to eat." She was really great. She was great. Then from there, we went to another convent. It was the... what was the name Carl mentioned? Lafayette convent.
Yeah, it's French.
This was a huge convent. I even have a picture in there somewhere. It was beautiful,
mm-hmm.
just beautiful. It had about probably 3 blocks of this area big, and it was all bricks.
It was three blocks, and
it was one convent, and they had college, of course, in there for mm-hmm. very rich kids,
mm-hmm.
and they let us stay there also for 3 days. They were very nice. They were very much involved also, but they had students living in the convent, mm-hmm. so they couldn't let us stay there for any longer because they didn't want their kids to be disturbed mm-hmm. by anything else but their school. So anyway, they helped us with every convent we went, they would feed us mm-hmm. and they would put us out without charging anything, of course. They got involved by asking for the boycott list. Some of them would help and others would say, well, you know, people gotta eat something. This was two little nuns who they were very much concerned about their public. And then we went to the Eucharistics of St. Dominic's. They let me stay there. Mm-hmm. They didn't let the others stay there because they didn't have enough room. Mm-hmm. But they let me stay there the rest of the whole 2 months we had there. And they feed me and they shared with me everything they had. I was mm-hmm. there for this week. I was there. And they shared with me with the washing of the feet mm-hmm. and the blessing of the bread and all these little things that are in mm-hmm. Holy Week. And they asked me to be a nun with them, of course. And they were great because I liked being in church with them. Mm-hmm. But any place I go, I like to share whatever the other people is mm-hmm. doing. And I enjoy it very much, whatever the other people do. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it. We used to get up very early to church. Mm-hmm. And then I would go to work to do my boycott. I work a whole, about 9 hours at the office. We walk a lot in New Orleans because I didn't have a car mm-hmm. and I couldn't drive. I can't drive yet. And I walk a lot to the offices. We used to call the organizations to see if I could meet with them and explain them the problem mm-hmm. and ask them to ask their members not to eat whatever we were mm-hmm. buying. And also we asked them to put pressure on their stores. They were great boycotting, and especially secondary boycotts. Mm-hmm. They were great. Whenever I asked them to tell the manager that they weren't going to buy there anymore, they would call them right away and in front of me. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, look, I have this girl in my office. She's boycotting the red kosher lettuce, and so am I. So you're selling it, aren't you? And I don't know what the managers would say. They would probably get shocked. And they say, well, if you're selling it, I'm not going to buy at your store anymore. And I'm going to tell my friends not to buy there. And of course, they were asking if we were doing a secondary boycott because that's against the law in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. They would say, no, she didn't say anything about that. She said she was boycotting the red kosher lettuce, but I don't want to buy in your store if you're doing that. So they were really great with me. And after a hard day of dealing with people like this, some people would take me out to lunch also, mm-hmm. very nice. After dealing with all this in the afternoon, I would come to the convent again and go to Mass again in the evenings and sing with the sisters and watch TV. They liked to watch 20 minutes, which was very exciting for me. And then they would all go to, it was a different religion. I always thought that a sister couldn't watch TV or had to go to bed early. They had to be in a very specific schedule. Mm-hmm.
It's much more free now.
It's
in
a
the
lot
United
more
States.
Free, yes, because they had to get up very early because they all had different assignments. Mm-hmm. They had a little school there called El Centro, and they had a bunch of children coming in the morning, and they had wasn't a real school, but it was like a let's see. You know those centers where you can bring your children very young from 2 years?
Child care centers.
Right, like child care center it was. And they would put them to do a bunch of little nice things. Mm-hmm. And they would teach them to boycott the little kids also. Yes, they were great. And the kids didn't know anything about it. They would say yes or no, you know, but they would tell them what I was doing. And they would put me in front of them and say, you know what, this is a farm worker. The kids were very amazed by it. And then, but they were very much free because either one would go to bed whenever they wanted. And I got to think about whether if I wanted to be like them or not, because it was just beautiful. They would do things together, and they had assignments in the kitchen and in the bedrooms and all this, and I loved it. And I asked them if I could be with them, if I could do the things they were doing the time I was with them, and they accept me. And I got assigned also with groups, and some weeks we would cook, and other weeks we would clean up, and other weeks we would do the bedrooms in the mornings and before we got out, and different things, and I liked it very much. It's a great very much, but I had Carl in LA waiting for me, so I couldn't stay any longer. Yes.
Couldn't experiment with a nun's life any more than that.
No, I don't think so. No, and let's see. I think now the sisters of that convent have been split now because they sold the mother house. Some of them are working in Texas, where we also have a lot of movement going on right now. And they are helping from there. Sometimes I get calls from them telling us what they're doing to help us. Very young sisters. But they're still help.
I'd like to get your get a little more information about the status of your contract right now. You have a good contract?
We have a very good contract.
And how many years will it run?
Okay. It's it will run for 3 years. It started in November.
Of what year?
This past year, 1984. Yes, and we have an increase of wages every 6 months. And we have what we were fighting for during the strike and the boycott, which is the dental, visual, and pension plan.
Is there one wage, or do you have different kinds of duties?
We have different. Yes, we have different departments, and one is the picking, and they are paid by. See, depends on what they pick. I don't know how you
piece
call
rate.
It. Piece rate. Yes, it's very good. They all say that this contract was excellent for the pickers because they make pretty good money.
Yeah.
If you're fast, of course. And then there is the bubble crew, which is where Marta de la Cruz works. And
what is that word?
Bubble crew.
Bubble?
Mm-hmm. And she makes $6.20 the hour. It's, I think it's considered as a general labor job. So is the packing shed where I work, and it's also the same wage.